appreciate both the songs tonight and the congregationals that we sang. I feel like they went along with the message. I think Pastor even changed one of them, and it went along with the message better than the one I had picked out. Most nights I am unsure, and I wonder when we have testimony time, I'll think, well, I'm not going to say anything better than that. But for sure tonight, I'm not going to top the testimony about the porta potties, but that's going to stay with you for a while. But I was thinking about Noah this week, and even all the testimonies went along with this as well. God still, the verses that we read, and a few more verses in Genesis chapter 6, God is still grieved by sin, and God's heart is still grieved. God is still grieved at his heart at man's sin, even today. We might say, well, I know he's grieved at their sin, but God's still grieved at our sin as well. We might look at the wickedness of the world then and the wickedness of the world now and say, yeah, that must hurt God's heart and must, the Bible uses the word, he repented the Lord, but he was grieved. And he said, I got to destroy it and start over. In Genesis 6, a little bit later in the chapter, in verse 12, it says, God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then you know the story. God said, you're going to provide a way of preservation and salvation. I want you to build an ark. It's going to keep you and your family and anybody you preach to that responds. It's going to keep you safe, and it's going to keep the animals safe so you can come out on the other side of this thing and start over. Something about Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I was thinking about it for each one of us. That's what each one of us should desire, to have favor in God's sight. To say if God ever, and God promised he wouldn't do this again, but if God had a supernatural need, if God had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, something that had never been done and would not ever be, it's been recreated, but something that would not ever be done again, if God needed to do that, that we would be worthy and responsive. The Bible says after God gave Noah the instructions, twice in the Bible it says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And I think when Noah found grace in God's sight, he knew that Noah would listen and do what God needed him to do. We can see that Noah found grace, which means favor. The Bible says he was just in verse 9. It says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And it says, and Noah walked with God. For these reasons, God chose him. And again, we could look at all the wickedness in the world and say, well, he didn't. What did he have to choose from? But instead of saying that, I would rather say, well, instead of looking at the wickedness, I would rather look at the example of Noah and say, how can I be used in the way that he was used, or be willing to be used the way that he was used? Even among very wicked people, Noah was known as being blameless. It doesn't mean he was without sin. It doesn't mean, like we use the word perfect today. The Bible uses the word perfect, meaning complete. But even around the wrong crowd, they knew who he was, and he was called blameless. That they knew his name, and they knew his reputation. Even in those wicked days, the Bible says he was known as a just man, and the Bible says he was blameless. Perfect in his generations. And again, he had zero faults, but he had a reputation for integrity, for keeping his word. He had a good character. And the Bible says he walked with God. I was thinking about the Bible verse, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you walk with somebody over any amount of distance, you have to agree on the speed and the direction. There's things you have to agree on in order to walk with somebody. And Noah walked with God. That means he was willing to have a habit and willing to make changes in his daily life. So, the things that were in his schedule, his priorities, and the things he was passionate about. The Bible says that he did according to all that God commanded him to do. Twice it says that. And he was doing it out of faith. The Bible says, talks about it in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. It says, Hebrews 11, 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the book of Hebrews says that Noah obeyed because he believed God. He knew the destruction was coming, but he had not yet witnessed it. He knew that the judgment of God was coming, but he hadn't witnessed it, just like he hadn't seen a flood yet. But he had faith, and he trusted God, and he did what God told him to do. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, that and spared not the old world, but saved Noah. For God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we know that while Noah was building, he was a preacher of righteousness. And this is something I was thinking about for our individual lives. A lot of things in our life, we look at people as an example of doing the right thing, of saying the right words, of having the right actions. And in this case, Noah was building the ark. But at the same time, God had asked him to proclaim, to preach. It wasn't enough just to do right and be right. He needed to broadcast what was right. And this is where it gets awkward and gets uncomfortable. Because you can be in a situation where you're doing the right thing, and those around you are not. And it can be embarrassing, it can be uncomfortable to speak out against somebody else and say, hey, wait a minute, you're not doing what's right, and God told us to do it this way. And that's what Noah had to do. While he was building, he had to preach, and he had to live it, and he had to proclaim it. And again, only Noah found grace in God's sight. So he was a peculiar person. He was an unusual person in that day. And because of the grace that Noah found, God kept him alive, and God saved his family, and God used him in a great way. And again, God promised he wouldn't do that again. We do look forward to an end. It's not that end and that punishment. But we need to, in the same way, we need to find grace in God's eyes. And again, not because of a flood, but because we do face eternal consequences and eternal rewards. I read from 2 Peter. The Bible says, 2 Peter in chapter 3, verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. So this is Peter talking and saying, we're not looking forward, we're not building an ark for a flood, but we are going to come to a time in our life where we have to give an account, where we have to represent what we have done and who we have served. And again, we're not trusting in the good works that we've done. We are just because of what Jesus did for us. Because of his death on the cross, because he shed his blood, because he rose again, we can say we are just, but then we can say, God, I want to be somebody that you can use like you used Noah. I want to find grace in the eyes of God. Just as Noah found that grace, we can be found, as Peter says, in peace, without spot, and blameless. So we can say in his day, if he had that reputation, that's a reputation that we should want to have. If he had that character, that's the character that we should want to have. And if it was life and death in the end of the world, and it may be here someday, you never know, but if it was that way, we could say God could use me in the way that God used Noah. That should be our desire. That should be our desire to say, God, whatever you have for me to do, if nobody's ever done it before, if nobody's ever heard of it before, I've got enough faith to trust and to do what you want me to do. So how do we find that grace that God offers to us? How do we find grace to be, not just to be saved, but to be used of God, the way Noah was used of God? Since what Jesus did for us, because of what Jesus did for us, we have a head start, or we have a good starting point from our salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, God commendeth his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So that way of salvation, that ark, has already been provided to us because of what Jesus did for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And it says we can have that assurance that we're already saved, and since we have that peace, and we don't have to worry about condemnation and judgment and punishment, since we don't have to have that burden, we can use our passion and our focus to find grace in God's sight and to do what he wants us to do. And just like Noah did, we have to walk with God. The Bible talks about it in Ephesians, how, and I was trying to say before, as we walk with someone, if we're walking with them, we may have to leave other people behind. We may have to leave other influences behind in our walk with Christ. But we should be willing to change our habits. Again, I was thinking in a different way this week, hadn't thought about it before. Noah had good habits because God chose him. And then because God chose him, Noah had to change his habits. He had to start working on a project that before that point in his life, the Bible says he was 500 years old when he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So he was an older person, okay? I'm just saying, it's in the Bible. He was an older person. God chose him because of his habits, but after God chose him, he had to change the good things that he was doing. He had to devote a little bit more time in his schedule to building the ark and preaching with a new sense of urgency that, you know, sin has always been wrong and God is always going to judge sin, but God has told me that he's going to destroy the earth. And this thing I'm building is the result of that prophecy. So a godly man had to change his habits when God called him in a special way. He had to change the words that he used. He had to change his priorities and his passions. Because he was a good guy and he had good habits, God chose him and changed a lot of his life. So in our walk with God, we should be willing for God to lead us somewhere we've never been before. And I think about it as a parent. Again, I always joke, but there's a little bit of honesty in every joke. Okay, so I always joke and say, I had parenting all figured out before I had kids. You know, I had marriage all figured out before I got married. And we're that way. We say, well, I got a habit. I've got a priority. This is the way it's going to be. And then real life takes over, you know, and then things change. So if we're walking with God, it doesn't mean, all right, my walk with God today is going to be the walk with God I'll have the rest of my life. No, look at Noah's life. Look at other people in the Bible. No, if they went with God, they went through storms and trials and dangers. They had to stand against sin. The Apostle Paul went through shipwreck and almost dying. Their walk with God was treacherous and dangerous, but it was peaceful because they were with God. And again, if we say, I'm going to walk with God and read his word, we have to be willing to change our habits, our priorities, and our passions. And again, this was true for Noah. And the Bible talks about it in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible talks about our habits. It talks about our desires and where we walk. So Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then it lists a whole bunch of bad stuff. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, nor filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So we say, if we're going to walk with God, there's a list right there. There's some things we can't include in that relationship. There's some people or some habits or some straight out sin that we cannot walk with. And if we want to say, God, I want to find grace in God's sight the way that Noah did, I have to walk with God. I have to be willing to change those things that have become habitual and regular in my life. And again, twice in the Bible says Noah did all that God commanded. And again, it was important. We think about going on a trip and going on a journey and packing everything that you need. And if you forget something, it's a problem because you only can take so much and you have to have it all. How much more so, imagine preparing the ark and getting everything and trying and doing everything to obey God and trying to remember everything that God had told you. And because, again, it's not all recorded in the Bible. Noah had to listen to God and do things that only God told him to do. And he had to do all that God had commanded him to do. It was very important. If he forgot to feed the giraffes, we wouldn't have giraffes today. Okay, if he forgot, forgot to collect the zebras. There wouldn't be any zebras today. Everything that he remembered, we can still see today because he followed God. And the Bible says he did all that God commanded him. And again, if we look at our own life and say, there's something that God wants me to preserve, the way that the ark preserved. There's something that God wants me to save, to deliver through the other side of this storm. Okay, God has given me something that he wants me to protect, to preserve, and to deliver. Just as God gave Noah a responsibility of the animals and his family to get through the storm, to wait on God, and then deliver it to the other side. And all of us have something. You might say, well, God's never going to call me. You know, he's seen my handyman skills. God's never going to call me to build an ark. But God has called you to build something. God has called you to build a family. God has called you to build what you call your reputation, or what you call your the account that you give. God has called you to build that. And God has given you truth to carry with you. God has given you his word. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. When they wanted to get right with God, they had to go house to house and take the word of God with them and read it and teach it. And we can pick up God's word for ourselves and carry it with us. God has given us that truth to carry with us, to preserve, to teach, and to bring it through the storm. To say, it was with me in the storm, I kept it with me, I followed it, and I brought it out the other side. If Noah was a preacher of righteousness, then it's not enough just for us to do right. We have to, while we're doing right, we have to be proclaiming what is right, telling people about Jesus Christ, telling them about the death, burial, resurrection of our Savior, telling them, teaching them to observe all things, as it says in the Great Commission. Everything that Jesus taught us, we have a responsibility to take it through the storms of life and deliver it to the other side. Again, Noah's just one example of somebody that said, I don't understand what's about to happen to me, but I trust God enough to follow his instructions and to prepare and to obey. And all of us can say the same thing. Most of us have a good idea of how we'd handle it before it happens to us, but when it happens, we don't really know what we're doing. We have to depend on God. And if we live our life that way, we can come out the other side and say, I preserved and I kept and I protected those things that you put in my life, those relationships, that the truth of God's word, the example that you wanted me to be to somebody else. I obeyed in all things, and God, and I found grace in the eyes of God. And that's what our example in Noah, at least it was to me this week, thinking about the man that God chose to reboot and start over. And many times in our own life, God has to do that in our own life, and we should be willing to do that when he calls us. We're going to have a word of prayer. Again, the testimony, the song, anything that was said tonight. If God's touched your heart about something and you just want to respond, we'll have a time of invitation so we can do that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you that even as wicked and sinful as the world is, we can still honor you with our life. We can still be that much more of a contrast of an example of acknowledging the consequence of sin, of seeing where that leads, the corruption and destruction, and saying even though nobody, it seems like nobody else is listening, we can still proclaim, we can still preserve what you've given each of us individually to carry in our ark that you've allowed us to build. So I pray you bless our time of invitation, that if there's something where we've got stuck in a habit and we need to walk with you, and that means we change a habit, help us to do that tonight. Bless our time of invitation. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight, and I ask that we'd honor you in all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.